In October 2019, Lion Air Flight 610 took off from Jakarta, Indonesia. 12 minutes later, it crashed, killing 189 people. 4 months later, Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, 157 people on board, crashed after takeoff. No survivors. The common factor in these two tragic accidents was the type of aircraft, the Boeing 737 MAX. Now, I'm a software nerd. I'm also an airplane nerd. I have two uncles who are pilots. I spend half my life on airplanes. I've been following this story with a lot of interest because in the immediate aftermath of that first accident, the media came out and said, it's a software problem. And I was like, that, maybe it's a software problem. And then the second one happened and they're like, it's the software problem. That's what's causing the thing with the Boeing 737 MAX. That's what caused these two crashes. Now, there are investigations ongoing. You know, there are still rigorous processes, and the aviation industry is really, really good. When something bad happens, they want to learn everything they possibly can. It is very, very rare for the same thing to go wrong twice, because normally the first one, they shut everything down until they work out what caused it. So this is kind of what we know so far about what caused these two crashes with the Boeing 737 MAX. Now, first of all, it's important to understand there is a thing in aviation called type ratings. Type rating says that this pilot is allowed to fly this kind of airplane. If you buy a new, you're an airline, you buy a new kind of plane, all your pilots need to go back to school and they need to qualify, they need to learn to fly the new kind of aircraft before you're allowed to put passengers on it. This takes time, this costs money, this is inconvenient. So, if you are trying to sell airplanes, it's a really good idea if you can go to the airlines and you can say, hey, this is the new 737. It's technically the old 737, but just it's got some improvements. But it's okay. Your pilots are still qualified to fly it. And this is basically what Boeing was trying to do with the 737 MAX. They wanted to build a plane, on the one hand, don't change anything. Don't change very much at all. Because we want everyone out there, all the pilots who can fly 737s, we want them to be able to get in this plane and fly it. Also, though, we need to make it fly further. We need longer range. Airbus has got the A320 long range. It's causing damage to our business. We need to compete with that. We need bigger engines. And we need bigger fuel tanks. We need more capacity. Now, they had a slight problem with that because the engines on the 737 MAX 8 are so big they don't fit underneath the wings properly. This is the old 737 and the new one side by side. And if you look at the tops of those wings, you'll see there's quite a substantial difference. They couldn't fit it under the wing, so what they did is they moved it forwards and they lifted it up. So it kind of hangs off the front. It's just a little bit higher. But what that means is in one of these planes, if you get in and you open the throttle, the plane is going to go up like this. And that's not what any of the old 737s did. This was a problem. And so they thought, I know, we'll fix it with software. Now, the 737 is like most modern planes. It is a fly-by-wire aircraft. The pilot pushes the control surfaces. They tell the computer, hey, go up, go down. The pilot wants to do this, pilot wants to do that. The computer flies the plane based on those inputs. But the computer can also override the inputs. It can inject its own behavior. And so they came up with this feature. It's called MCAS, the Maneuvering Characteristics Augmentation System. And what they basically did was they wrote some code that is good code that works, which says if you detect that the aircraft is rising like this, raise the tail and bring the nose back down. That's it. And don't tell anyone this is happening because we just want to simulate the fact so that the pilots think it's behaving like all the 737s they've ever flown before. The two aircraft that crashed, the problem they had was something called an angle of attack sensor. They had one single sensor, which is the thing that tells the computer, is the plane doing this or not? And it appears, based on what we know so far, that that angle of attack sensor malfunctioned. There was only one. There was no backup system. And because the pilots had been told this is just a 737 like all the rest, they didn't know that there was this additional MCAS system. It was in the manual, but, you know, are you going to read the manual? Your plane is doing weird things and you don't know what's going on. You're trying to save the thing. You're trying to, you know, look after the passengers who are on board. It's not clear whether they knew about the procedures. It's not clear whether they just didn't have time to implement them. But, you know, to call this a software problem is disingenuous. Software is what made that aircraft possible in the first place. The problem as I see it, it's systemic. It's a failure right along the whole thing, the design process, the certification process. Sure, the software worked, but the people who built the software didn't necessarily understand that there was going to be this one scenario where there's only one angle of attack sensor, and that goes wrong, and the pilots don't know what to do about it. There are all these disconnected pieces, and they all fail, and when they fail, planes crash, people die. Now, we owe it to the people in those accidents to learn everything we can about what caused them, about how to do it better, about how to stop it happening again. And it's just one of hundreds of ways that we need to start thinking differently about the way in which software is becoming a fundamental part of the world all around us.